Yes, as I said at the beginning of the service, the third Sunday of Advent is known as Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete is a Latin word that means rejoice, as we have seen a bit of demonstration from our Sunday school teacher David. The church invites us to rejoice at the coming of someone much greater, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords himself, Jesus Christ. Since his coming is near, the prophet Zephaniah proclaims, "Rejoice and exult with all your heart." St. Paul adds his voice to the call for rejoicing when he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." So today, all our readings exhort us to be happy and joyful as we wait for the Lord's coming. The first reading from the book of the prophet Zephaniah contains a joyful victory song for Jerusalem. And if you are familiar with that little book of the prophet Zephaniah, Zephaniah's book is dominated by prophecies of doom and gloom against Jerusalem and all humankind. The prophet warns his people about the coming day of the Lord, a dreadful day of apocalyptic devastation. But today's reading contains the ninth and final oracle from his prophetic book. This oracle brings a notable change in tone and content. "O Israel, rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord, the King of Israel, is in your midst. You have no evil to fear." Prophet Zephaniah tells a timid, disheartened people, "Fear not, do not be discouraged. God will rejoice over you with gladness. God will rejoice over you with singing." As we sing with our little babies, lullaby, so the expression is that the Lord will sing over you. So nothing could be greater reason to be joyful than the presence of God in our midst. Concrete proof of his assurance that he is with us, Emmanuel. Zephaniah shares this knowledge with his fellow Israelites and sets it out as the reason for true rejoicing. So nothing could be better or more consoling than knowing that our God draws near to us, even when we may be negligent in our drawing near to God. He draws near to us. We have all those reasons to rejoice as Christian because our Savior has come and is coming for the second time. That is our hope. And St. Paul says, "Hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint." St. Paul begins today's reading by calling us to rejoice in the Lord. And just to make sure we don't miss the point, Paul writes, "Again, I will say rejoice." That's very important. When he says, "Don't worry about anything," but we think, well, how realistic is that? Don't we have a lot of things to worry about? All indicators show fear and anxiety is on the increase in the world. There seems to be no end of things to worry about these days. And I suspect that our news outlets like it that way, because it keeps us tuned in. So what are we to do with all these worries? Paul goes on to say in today's passage, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Do not worry about anything. Other translations say, do not be anxious about anything. Anxiety or worry is something that we all face at different times in our life. In fact, anxiety is one of the most common reasons for people to go to see a doctor these days. That's the fact. Because anxiety leads to depression. Rejoicing, on the other hand, comes naturally when things are going well, like when I have enough food to eat, clothes to wear, a safe place to lay my head, good health and a good job. But how do I rejoice if I do lack these basic necessities? How can I rejoice when I am diagnosed with a serious medical condition? How is it possible to rejoice when I am robbed of my last penny? The letter of Paul was not written from a 5-star hotel, if there were such then, but from a prison. Perhaps we can gain insight into how we can find joy even in prison by looking at the gospel message anew. Paul invites the believers in Philippi and us to rejoice in the Lord. Paul wrote these words while languishing in prison. The letter to the Philippians is sometimes known as the letter of joy because of its gracious and optimistic tone. And it is a very personal letter of St. Paul compared to any other 12 letters written by St. Paul. However, Paul wrote in it while suffering imprisonment in Rome and perhaps execution for the sake of the gospel. Today, as Christians, we may be in prison of anger, a prison of unforgiving, a prison of jealousy, a prison of power. But let us look at the cross of Jesus Christ and see how he brought salvation from the cross. And this all began with his birth. We need to rejoice that the Messiah is to be born, and we need to get out of the prisons we are living in. The chains of despair and worry could be more damaging than the actual prison walls. And St. Paul actually gives the antidote to this. He says actually in chapter 3 of the Philippians that I go for one thing. I leave the things behind, but I go for the message of the gospel. This is what he says. I do one thing. I look at the cross of Christ and the joy which will be given to us in the second coming of Christ. So, a spirit of eternal joy leads to constant prayer and praise of the Lord. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Such prayerful attitude will result in the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. The peace that will guard the Philippians' hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And Isaiah the prophet says in his book, chapter 26, verse 3, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. So, when our mind is on Christ, when our focus is Christ Jesus, the peace of the Lord will rule our hearts and minds. Therefore, rejoicing accompanied by prayer and praise, prepares believers for the Lord's return, for parousia. I believe St. Paul's own confidence during his imprisonment was surely strengthened by prayer and a great desire for the Lord's return. A great longing for the Lord's return. During Advent time, as Christians, we are encouraged to read the Bible, and I hope you are reading the Gospel of Luke chapter 15 today. And pray all the time. It is in His Word and our prayers that we meet the coming Messiah to be born in our hearts. No matter what is happening in your life, no matter how bad it might seem, you have a God who loves you, a Savior who died for you, and a promise from our God to be with you always. Because it is His promise, He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's why you and I can always rejoice. The proclamation of the Gospel by John the Baptist is a call to demolish any thought patterns that keep us far away from God. It is a call to develop new ways of thinking and doing things grounded in truth. John the Baptist, who first and foremost, while still in the womb, leapt for joy in recognition of the eternal presence of God amongst us in the unborn holy child, Jesus, knows that Jesus is the true font and source of our joy. A soul, dear friends, a soul that is devoid of joy is certainly devoid of Christ, for Christ is the source and fountain of joy. And it is fitting that as we prepare for His coming in glory and for the commemoration of His birth amongst us in human form over 2,000 years ago, that our heart should be filled with joy today. The closeness of God to us is the reason for this joy. For we know and understand what it means to have God very near to us. The Word of God says in Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 7, "For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon Him?" This joy can never be bottled because it is very contagious. The visible sign of the presence of joy in us is our ability to inspire joy in others, especially those who seem to have no reason to rejoice. John's action-oriented fruits of repentance have to do with caring for our neighbors and treating them with respect. Repentance here is about how we are living out the love of our neighbor. The question which John's preaching encourages us all to ask today is still, what should we do? What should we do? What are the fruits of repentance which we might bear? This begins with us as individuals taking a good hard look at our lives and asking God to help us change what we need to change. There are things we are doing that we may need to stop. With the tax collectors and soldiers, there may be things we need to start doing, as those in the crowd were urged to share clothes and food with those who had less. We need to figure out for ourselves and get with it. Because there are sins of commission. The willful act of doing something. And there are things of omission. That means not doing what is right. As we await the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we must be containers and sharers of joy. We contain this joy when our hope is alive and active. And hope will never put us to shame. A hope that is alive and active is a hope that prepares room for God as well as for others. It is such hope that inflames our hearts with joy and leads us to export this joy to our brothers and sisters. If you like, you can pray this prayer with me in your hearts. Heavenly Father, I will make an effort to look for at least one chance to rejoice, one chance to see the blessings you have given to me this Advent. And I will look for at least one chance this Advent season to make someone or others happy, whether it is by giving away material goods or by doing small acts of kindness and compassion. Father, we are grateful that we have this Sunday, rejoicing Sunday in Advent. We bow down before you in prayer to implore that our hearts may rejoice in the Lord. And may we be transformers of joy for other people in our daily Christian living. Help us to prepare our hearts as we await the birth of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.